Imagine a world where half your children die before age 5, and your life expectancy barely reaches 30 years. This wasn't some distant dystopia, it was humanity's reality for millennia. Yet in just 250 years, we've witnessed what Nobel Prize-winning economist Angus Deaton calls the Great Escape, an extraordinary liberation from destitution and premature death that has transformed human existence. This remarkable journey began with the scientific revolution and enlightenment, creating intellectual conditions for both health and economic breakthroughs. Early medical innovations like smallpox inoculation in 1721 initially benefited only the wealthy, but gradually expanded to entire populations, establishing a pattern where progress creates inequality before eventually becoming widely available. For most of human history, life was indeed nasty, brutish, and short. The Industrial Revolution accelerated material progress but created new health challenges as crowded cities became perfect breeding grounds for disease. Life expectancy in urban areas actually fell below rural levels, explaining why overall health improved so slowly before 1850. The scientific breakthrough came with John Snow's landmark 1854 cholera study in London, which demonstrated how contaminated water spread disease. This work, alongside Koch and Pasteur's research, established the germ theory of disease despite fierce resistance from those who believed bad air caused illness. This revolution required both technological advances like improved microscopes and political will. Newly enfranchised working men demanded the clean water infrastructure that would eventually save millions of lives. The post-war period saw a remarkable health transformation in developing countries, achieving in decades what took centuries in wealthier nations. Jamaica and Sri Lanka experienced dashes for immortality, with life expectancy increasing over 1 year annually for more than a decade. This miracle stemmed from three factors: penicillin, sulfa drugs, and chemical control of disease-carrying insects, particularly malaria-transmitting mosquitoes. International organizations amplified these effects. UNICEF vaccinated against tuberculosis, WHO promoted immunization for childhood diseases, and innovations like oral rehydration therapy prevented millions of diarrhea deaths. After 1945, wealthy countries shifted from reducing infant mortality to extending life for older adults. Life expectancy at age 50 improved significantly across 14 wealthy nations, with progress accelerating after 1970 in synchronized patterns. This shift reflected changing priorities as societies conquered each health monster sequentially. With child mortality largely defeated by the 1960s, focus turned to chronic diseases affecting middle-aged people. Cardiovascular disease death rates fell by 50 to 67% across rich countries through antihypertensives, statins, and surgical interventions. Cancer showed limited progress until the 1990s, but mortality rates for breast, prostate, and colorectal cancers have recently declined. Health improvements extend beyond mortality to include reduced suffering through joint replacements, better pain management, and depression treatments that improve quality of life. Between 1820 and 1992, average global income increased sevenfold, while extreme poverty fell from 84% to 24%. America exemplifies this growth. GDP per capita rose from $8,000 in 1929 to over $43,000 in 2012. Since 1950, steady 1.9% annual growth has doubled living standards every 35 years. Americans now spend just 7.5% of their budgets on food at home, with housing and healthcare as their largest expenses. This growth has delivered real improvements: domestic appliances eliminating drudgery, modern sanitation, transportation providing freedom, and technologies enabling global connection. Yet despite GDP per person growing more than 60% between 1973 and 2010, poverty rates remain high. Income inequality, stable from post-World War II until the mid-1970s, has since widened dramatically. In 1966, families in the top 5% earned 11 times more than those in the bottom 20%. By 2010, they earned 21 times more. While all families shared prosperity until the late 1970s, the bottom fifth has gained barely 0.2% annually over 44 years, while the top fifth grew at 1.6%. Nobel laureate Jan Tinbergen described this as a race between technological development and education. When education leads, inequality decreases. When technology outpaces education, inequality grows. Since World War II, the world has experienced unprecedented economic growth, lifting hundreds of millions from poverty. Despite adding 4 billion people over half a century, today's 7 billion humans enjoy, on average, better lives than previous generations, confounding 1960s fears about the population bomb. Mortality rates have fallen dramatically alongside rising incomes. The application of germ theory through pest control, clean water, vaccinations, and antibiotics in developing countries saved millions and significantly extended life expectancy. Progress remains deeply uneven. Some rapidly growing countries have narrowed gaps with wealthy nations while creating new divides between themselves and countries left behind, particularly in Africa. Vertical health programs succeeded, even with limited local infrastructure, significantly reducing disparities between rich and poor regions. Yet profound inequalities persist. 3 dozen countries still lose over 10% of children before age 5 to intestinal and respiratory infections that wealthy countries conquered centuries ago simply due to the accident of where they were born. The feared population explosion of the 1960s prompted wealthy nations to implement population control policies based on the flawed lump theory that resources are fixed. In reality, each new person brings not only needs, but productive capacity and potential innovation. Nearly 1 billion people remain in material destitution, while millions of children die simply because of their birthplace. Since World War II, rich countries have tried to help through foreign aid. But this approach suffers from what Deaton calls the aid illusion, the mistaken belief that global poverty persists because the wealthy don't give enough. Current aid flows already exceed what's mathematically needed to eliminate dollar-a-day poverty, yet fail to achieve this goal. Aid fundamentally alters recipient government behavior by flowing directly to governments, allowing rulers to govern without citizen consent or developing effective tax systems and responsive institutions. Better approaches include providing technical knowledge without attached loans, eliminating agricultural subsidies that harm poor farmers, and facilitating migration, which reduces poverty more effectively than traditional aid. Politics has shaped inequality through declining minimum wages and collapsed union membership in the private sector, from 24% in 1973 to 6.6% in 2012. Today's wealthy are predominantly working rich, earning through salaries and stock options, unlike the early 20th century coupon clippers living off investments. Rather than asking, what should we do, we might focus on removing obstacles preventing people from escaping poverty through their own efforts. The greatest progress comes from creating conditions where human ingenuity and determination can flourish. The metaphor of escape captures both the triumph of those who broke free and the tragedy of those still trapped, raising crucial questions about global inequality. What matters isn't population size, but whether societies create conditions where human potential can flourish. These advances represent not just longer lives, but fundamentally better ones, with less pain, greater mobility, and more years of active engagement. This transformation raises profound questions about opportunity and the social contract in modern societies. The Great Escape reminds us that progress requires both scientific knowledge and political will to ensure its benefits reach everyone, not just the fortunate few.